Joshua chapter number 6 is one of the more famous stories in the Bible. I want to read it. And the title of my message this morning is Watch Out for Victories. Watch out for victories. Aren't victories wonderful? But boy, it's the things that happen after them that you got to watch out for. Victory sometimes breeds self-confidence. Victories sometimes allure us to give up our prayer time, our Bible time, make us think we've arrived. Victories are sometimes the worst things that ever happen to us. Seems like spiritually sometimes we're so much better off when we're struggling or with defeat, struggling with testing, struggling with temptation, struggling with health problems, struggling with financial problems, struggling with family problems. Sometimes we're just better off when we're struggling because those things keep us close to the Lord. Then the victories come. And watch out. Let's read this story. I'll try to read quickly, and we'll look at another story later, and I'll throw in a few comments in between. I hope it'll help. It's the conquest of Jericho, one of the greatest military conquests ever, one of the strangest ever. It says, and Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Verse 2, Joshua 6. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was there right about now, I would say, yeah, right. If I was listening to this. This is just the strangest thing, but you know, sometimes the Lord tells us things that to our understanding don't make any sense. But he says, just do this and I'll take care of it. It takes great faith to really follow the Lord, and to obey his commandments takes great faith. I can remember, for instance, when the first time I ever heard of the biblical concept and commandment of tithing, I said, that's the strangest thing I ever did, and I spit it out. And things got progressively worse in my life for me financially. And then I finally got to the point where I said, now, Lord, what you have said makes absolutely no sense to my human understanding, but this is your plan. I'm going to get with it. And boy, does it work. Wow, does God's plan work? This is strange. Walk around the city once a day for 6 days. 7th day, walk around the thing 7 times. Have a bunch of priests out in front blowing ram's horns. And I'm going to make the walls. Now, the walls of Jericho, if you have yourself a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, I'd encourage you to get one. There's an archaeological supplement in the back. When they excavated the walls of Jericho, they were 30 feet high and 12 feet thick. These are huge, thick walls. The Lord says, the 7th day, blow the ram's horns after you go around it 7 times. And everybody shout real loud at the wall. And it's going to fall down flat in front of you, just like a carriers in the military where the front came down, the troops come flying in. All the walls are going to just fall down flat in front of you, and you're all just everybody is surrounded and just ascend straight into the city. That's the plan. See, a lot of God's plans for victory take a lot of faith. Somehow you got to just take your human comprehension, and especially us men, with our complex analytical minds, how would this work? And you just got to say, by faith, this is the way God said it. Let's do it. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them. Now, he just tells this here to Joshua. He doesn't tell this to the whole congregation. So Joshua now relays the information. He says, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, encompass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest and blew with the trumpets, and the rear reward came after the ark, and priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, now just picture this, just try to do this, verse 10, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. Imagine trying to do that. Imagine trying to get your kids to do that. Not one word, kids. Till when? We don't know when. When Joshua tells us to shout, you keep your mouth shut. Not one word till then. Keep your kids quiet for 6 days. Keep yourself quiet for 6 days. Man, sometimes you think, I, as the pastor, tell you hard things. How would you like to be back there? So the ark of the Lord compassed the city going about at once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after that same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass that the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she, and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now, just put that word in the back of your mind for a few minutes, where he mentions curse four times. In verse 18, he says, do not touch the accursed thing. What does he mean? Verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted with the priests, blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, and with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. Now she had put a scarlet thread in her window, which was a picture and a type of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because she believed in God, and she believed in the God of Israel. And she wanted to be saved, and she wanted her family to be saved. And the young men that were spies went in, and notice, brought out in verse 23, Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. She had convinced her mother to be saved, her father to be saved, her kindred to be saved, because salvation was typed in that scarlet thread of the blood of Christ, and anyone that she got into her house was saved. All of her kindred were there, and she was a harlot. Now, my friends, God can use people to reach others. There was a woman at the well one time in John 4 who had 5 husbands and was living with a man, and God used her as a soul winner. And many of the people of the Samaritans she brought to Christ, and they believed on Christ because of her word when she said, "He told me all things that ever I said." And here we see an Old Testament example. There's many Old Testament examples of soul winning, and here's a wicked, wicked woman. But she believed in the God of Israel. She turned to that God. She put her faith in that God. She's even mentioned back in the book of Hebrews 11 as one of the great women of faith. Rahab, she believed. And she got as many as she could possibly into her house of safety before the judgment of God came. And they were all saved. I hope you're trying to take people to heaven with you. I hope you're trying to get people under the safety of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And start even with your own family. Anyways, and they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord and saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now this is the very first conquest in the land of Canaan. The children of Israel had left Egypt about 40 years earlier at the Passover, and they had crossed over the sea. The Lord parted the waters, and several million, probably 3 million people crossed over the Red Sea. And then Pharaoh and his armies came to chase them, and the waters came back and drowned them all. It was just a supernatural miracle. Then they rebelled against the Lord, and they ended up being sentenced to wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. But now they're going to cross the Jordan River, and now they come into the land of Canaan, and Joshua is their leader, and they have got many conquests ahead of them. There are many cities filled with many heathen and wicked people that they would have to take over, one city at a time, at a time, at a time, a little bit here and a little bit there. And the first conquest is one of the biggest. It's the city of Joshua with these huge, or Jericho with these huge walls, 30 feet high, 12 feet thick. And God gives them a plan, and they follow that plan to the T. They obey the Lord. They put their faith in the Lord. They put their submission in God's commandments. God's commandments require obedience. God's commandments require faith, but He always honors those who obey His commandments, even those that don't make sense. He honors those, and a great victory takes place. Jericho is one of the greatest military victories and conquests in human history. But watch out for victories. Watch out for victories. The next chapter tells us that there's a very, very small little town not far away called Ai, spelled that way, capital A-I, period. And they have to have this as their next conquest. It's next in line. But they didn't realize that there was some sin in the camp. And they didn't take care of their sin. And they became overconfident. They didn't pray to the Lord. They didn't ask the Lord for any counsel. They didn't ask Joshua what he thought. And it says, "But the children of Israel," in chapter 7 and verse 1, "committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing." So what did he take of? He took of what was accursed in verses 18 and 19 of chapter number 6. "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." Notice he disobeyed the commandment of the Lord, one man. And what was that? Verse 19. "But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So what did he take? What did he take? What's a one-word synonym for what the Achan took and kept for himself? What's a one-word synonym for it? Treasure, okay. What else? Tithe. First fruits. See, the first fruits are always the Lord's. In Proverbs 3 and verses 9, it says, honor the Lord with thy first fruits. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. He says, I'll bless you. You give me the first fruit. The first fruits always belong to God. Now, when we get to Ai, you know what he's going to say? At the second conquest, take anything you want for yourself. Keep it. But the first fruits belong to the Lord. And he says, if you don't give me the first fruits, and he's talking about the silver and the gold and the brass and so on, and bring that into the Lord's treasury, you're going to bring a curse upon yourself, you're going to bring a curse upon your family, you're going to bring a curse upon the whole nation, the whole congregation. Wow. Wow. At the end of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, in verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? But you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Who's the devourer? 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says the devourer is the devil. The Lord said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, he's talking about the tithe. He's talking about the first fruits here. He says, now you have somebody, nobody else saw it. He didn't think I saw it, but I did see it, God says. There's one man in your congregation who took of the first fruits. I told you not to touch him. I told you you'd be cursed. I told him, bring all that into the treasury. Every conquest from this time on, you can keep whatever you want. But the first fruits is the Lord's. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, I just want to throw this out before I get back to the message, but if you feel today like you're living under some kind of a curse financially, I want to encourage you to get with God's program and give tithes and offerings to Him first. Not if you got something last. And if you don't like this church, give it somewhere else. And just see, the Lord said, prove me only once in the Bible. And it was about tithing. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so that you can't receive it. And so they became self-confident. Watch out for victories. Can you imagine the conquest? Can you imagine the shouting, the joy as they came back from Jericho? They said, wasn't that great? I've never seen anything like that in my life. What a God we have. What an amazing God. What a victory. But watch out for victories. Watch out for victories. Now comes little Ai. Joshua, verse 2, chapter 7, sent men to Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said, let not all the people go up. But let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor therewith, for they are but few. Do you see the self-confidence here? Joshua, we don't need a word from God. We don't need a word from you. We've seen it ourselves. Don't trouble us all. We got things to do. Just send a couple thousand men up. This one's going to be easy. This one's going to be easy. Watch out for victories. I mean, we slaughtered Jericho. Wow, what a victory. That was big. This one's nothing. Watch out for victories. So there went up thither of the men about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. We need to watch out for victories. Victories oftentimes breed overconfidence. Victories oftentimes breed self-confidence. They often cause us not to pray anymore, not to seek the counsel, or to make us think that we have arrived. You know, we have an adversary, the devil, who has studied the human race for a long time. You know that? He's had about a 6,000-year head start on you and on me. He knows how to get us. He sees patterns. And he kind of loves to come up to us right after a victory and say, "Man, you are something. You've arrived. You don't even have to pray anymore. You are Mr. Christian. You're Mr. Spiritual. You're Mrs. Spiritual. You know, after what you did, you don't even have to pray anymore. You don't even have to read the Word anymore. You've attained a level that very few people ever get to. You're really something else. Why don't you just put your guard down?" And we start listening. Right after a victory, we put our guard down, and then he hits us with a haymaker. He hits us with an AI. What happened? And the people's hearts melted. What in the world happened here? And they had to go back and be humbled and be broken by a small thing. Small thing. Now, the reason for this message is that this has just been, for some of us, this has been a tremendous summer. And if you're not careful, you can get proud and haughty. We've had a tremendous time at the Dunkirk Fair, one of our best times ever. We collected 172 cards from people who said they had received Christ as their Savior in 7 days. That's praise the Lord. We passed out about 1,000 tracts every day. We just had a wonderful vacation Bible school. 74 different adults and teens from our church were involved in that. That's great, isn't it? To have that many people from one church working together as a team to try to help some souls. And by the end of the week, 21 children came to know the Lord as their Savior. We just had a great float in the parade last week. A lot of work went into that. It was really nice. It was a good experience. I think we passed out more tracts last Sunday in the parade, I'm not sure, than in any other parade we've ever been in sowing the seed of the Word of God. Weeks ago, a whole bunch of our children went to camp, children, in Butler, Pennsylvania. Had a great, great spiritual week away from the world, away from TV, away from iPods and internets and all kinds of distractions and delusions, and just got alone with God, and a whole bunch of our children made some really good decisions. It was a week of victory. Sometimes you get a great prayer answered. Sometimes the Lord leads you, uses you to lead someone to Christ, and boy, you just feel, it's one of the greatest feelings you can ever have, is to lead another soul to Jesus Christ. Sometimes God uses you powerfully in your ministry. Many of you are involved in ministries, and we hear reports about ladies that go off to Hopeville and come back and say two of the young ladies got saved, praise the Lord. A couple other ladies got saved, and some of the staff members told us that the girls, they see the change in the girls' lives, and they can't explain it. Wonderful, wonderful victories. A tremendous answer to prayer. A family member gets saved and baptized. You have some miracle of provision in your life. You get a pay raise, a new job. Some miracle money or gift comes in just at the right time. It seems like God's just been so good to you, as though you were the only one living on earth. All these wonderful things. All these wonderful things. People paying you compliments. You're such a blessing. You're such a help to me. All of them. You got to watch out for. You got to watch out for all of it. All of it. I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it in so many other people's lives. You know, we even have some people that were attending church this year that God did miracles for, unbelievable answers to prayer for them, and they don't even walk with us anymore. Don't even attend. All of these victories pose for us a temptation to back off and stop praying, to become overconfident, to think we've arrived as a congregation and as an individual. I want to show you an individual. If you'll turn to 1 Kings 18, we just saw this fault in a congregation, and now I want to show you this fault in an individual. Watch out for victories. Victories are wonderful, but watch out for them. We see the story here of Elijah. Probably one of the greatest individual victories that we ever read about in the Bible. In 1 Kings 18, and we'll just pick it up in about verse 17. It says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him," now he's the wicked king of Israel, Ahab, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he, Elijah, answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove, 400. What do we have? 1 versus 850. Who are you going to vote for? "Which sat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions?" Boy, I wish some prophet would ask that in America nowadays. "If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the Lord and the people answered him not a word. Now I want you to notice, especially right here, I want to make a point of the physical. Just the physical energy that Elijah spends in this story, as well as the spiritual energy. So then said Elijah unto the people, "I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men." Now Elijah thought of himself too highly here. He was very nearsighted. There were 100 other prophets hiding in caves, and God had 7,000 that had never bowed their knees to Baal, but he thought he was it. So he's going into this battle at a disadvantage. Do you ever think you're it? Man, we've had dozens of people over the years that have left this church and knew this church was going to fall down and collapse and close up after they left. As soon as I'm gone, that's finished. The glory has departed, Ichabod. The glory of God's leaving with me. And the Lord, I think, has done all right. Amen? It's His church. He doesn't need any of us. He wants us, but He doesn't need any of us. There's someday I'm going to kick the bucket, and God's going to do just fine without me on this earth. "Let them therefore give us two bullocks," that's big bulls like you see in a rodeo. These guys riding them for some reason. "And let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon, when Elijah mocked them, that's not smart either, and said, "Cry aloud." The Bible says, "Revile not the gods." Amen. We ought not to mock other people's religion. Just preach the truth to them. God will take care of himself. For he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Boy, you see a lot of people cutting themselves in America nowadays, don't you? Getting all marked up and stuff. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired. Now notice the physical energy he's going to put into this. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels of water, get some help here, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice, the offering of the, that Elijah the prophet prays about a 63-word prayer to the God of Israel. And he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. They took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Boy, I'll tell you what, look at the physical energy. You know, a lot of times physical energy goes into the Lord's work. Not just spiritual energy, but a lot of times it takes physical energy. And watch out for victories. Watch out when you're physically exhausted doing the Lord's work. Because the day's not over. Elijah says to Ahab, I hear the sound of rain. There's a long story here, and it came to pass that the seventh time, behold, there riseth a cloud, verse 44, and he says to Ahab, go up, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, like last night, that the heaven was black with clouds and winds, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and notice, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel about 15 miles, running in front of a chariot. He's exhausted. He's put a lot of physical energy into this day of victory. But watch out for victories. Watch out for victories. Next day, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, chapter 19, and withal, how he had slain all the prophets with the Lord. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to thee, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, but by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose, and he went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Some of you need to be careful. You're physically exhausted, and we do need some reinforcements. Some of you maybe need to get with it and help us around here. But you're physically exhausted. Watch out. Watch out for victories. Watch out when you're physically exhausted. I mean, just in a day or two after one of the greatest individual victories ever over these 450 prophets of Baal, you see the guy saying, well, take my life, Lord. I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. You and I believe how fast you can fall into despondency right after a victory. Right after a victory. Now, in conclusion, turn to Isaiah 40, and I want to show you how to endure victories and defeats. Isaiah 40, And I just want to make this application. I know I read a lot of scripture. I don't usually read that much scripture in a message, but I read a lot of scripture today. And I'm just trying to help those of you. I've just seen so many of you serving our Lord, and I thank God for you. I'm so happy. I don't know what word to say sometimes. I'm so proud of our teenagers around here that just keep serving the Lord and going to camp and going out soul winning, going to fairs and festivals and riding the floats, and adults too, and helping in vacation Bible school and all these things. So many things have been a wonderful spiritual summer for so many people. But you got to watch out. Because you come back from camp, you come back from the fair, you come back from vacation Bible school, and you're tired. And if you don't find the secret for renewing your strength, you're going to fall. You're going to become despondent, and you're going to say, it's enough, Lord. It's enough. Let someone else do it. I've done it long enough. Here's the secret, and we'll close with this. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Underline those words in your Bible. Some of you maybe have been moms for a long time, raising children. You've been dads for a long time. You've been grandmas and grandpas for a long time. Or you've battled health problems for a long time. You've battled financial problems. You've battled marriage problems. You've battled family problems. You've battled problems at work for a long, long time. And you're just about ready to give up. Remember verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. He giveth power to the faint. Some of you are serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord in this church. And you're not doing one thing. You're doing 10 things, and you're faint. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here's the secret. Here's the secret. When you're weary, when you're faint, when you've expended all, and the Lord has given you the victory, that's when you need to get along with God and wait upon the Lord. Say, oh God, give me strength. Give me strength. I don't want to fall. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm just a human. I know many of you would admit that too. I'm just a human. There's a lot of times in the ministry where I just say, man, this is overwhelming. But it says in Psalm 61, verse 2, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And some of you are overwhelmed right now. And you're about ready to quit. You're this far away from quitting. And you can't quit because we need you. We want you. You encourage us by your presence. And some of you are in situations and I can't help you financially or with your marriage or family, or you've got people in your family, or you've got health problems and you're just getting weary. Faint. The secret's right here. The secret's right here. It's in God. Your help is in God. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Verse 29. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. The Lord can renew you. The Lord can renew you. And all I can tell you from the scriptures today and from my experience is that it just seems to me in my life when I get to that point, if I can just get alone with God for about an hour in prayer, I just come out of there revived and strengthened, not only wanting to go on, but wanting to try something else. Try something else. Some of you may be young in the Lord and you've had some victories, and then all of a sudden you got walloped right afterwards. We saw a congregation do that in the Bible today, and we saw an individual do that in the Bible today. Sometimes it happens. You got to watch out for victories, okay? Watch out for victories. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for victories, and oh, that we would praise you as much after the victory as we prayed before the victory. That we would just praise you and worship you when people are saved, when prayers are answered, when needs are met, when healings come to people's bodies, and healing comes to a marriage, or healing comes to a family, or we see some financial provision, and or we prayed for a long time for release from some oppressive state that we're in. I don't know what might be troubling some. Some it's a health problem. And either the healing's on the way or the grace is on the way to sustain them. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, your word says, He giveth strength to the weary. He giveth strength to the weary. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh Lord, we're sorry, but after victories, we're tempted often to think we've arrived and we need less of you. And the fact is, we need more of you because we're going to be tempted to be proud. We're going to be tempted to be self-confident or overconfident that we've arrived. And we've seen a congregation today win at Jericho and lose at Ai. We've seen an individual win on Mount Carmel today against 450 prophets of Baal, but lose to the threat of a woman who said, I'm going to kill you. And he became so despondent. But Lord, later in that chapter, you came with some angels and gave him some food. And he revived. Now you've come to give us some food today from your word. And thy word is this, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh God, we pray that people may even come to this altar today and pray for more strength, more might, more power, Lord, than they have had. And help us to have the maturity now in our walk with the Lord and know that victories are sometimes dangerous. Bless this altar call now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our blue books, and we'd like to just invite you to come to the